In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Our Lady, Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Your Life Connected, the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Arbor for Drew this afternoon. We've got to get a camera in here the way that they televise the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky every night, because to hear Drew dance to the music that you're in the background is really, really something extra special that we really should put up on video. Maybe someday we'll just do that as a YouTube or a Facebook video. We are still watching what's coming out of the Supreme Court ever since the Roe versus Wade leak happened a few weeks ago. There have been demonstrations in front of the Supreme Court. There was one news report that we heard earlier today that thought the Roe versus Wade decision may come today, and it still may come in the next hour, but we doubt it. But it's something that is right around the corner. And of course, as we look at Roe versus Wade, that's going to come right back to our states, right back to our own hometowns. You and I stand up as Catholics fighting for life from the moment of conception until natural death. And as the Supreme Court makes that decision on Roe versus Wade any hour, any day now, where do most Americans fall on abortion? Well, there's some new information that we've got for you this afternoon here on the Drew Mariani Show. It's a new Gallup poll that shows that 55% of Americans identify as pro-choice. That's up 5% from last year. But for you and I who stand for life, there's actually some good news in that number going up. Let's explore that with Michael New, who is an associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute and a research associate at the Bush School at the Catholic University of America. Michael, good afternoon. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
Why is this good news?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say this is, you know, good news as such. I mean, we never like to lose ground in the court of public opinion.
Right.
But pro-lifers should not be alarmed. I mean, one thing that we know just from tracking public opinion on abortion is that public opinion on abortion is often influenced by current events. And usually when, you know, pro-lifers are about to make some gains politically or some policy gains, sometimes there is a bit of an increase in public sentiment in favor of legal abortion. And again, we have good data on that, that, you know, your viewers or your listeners might remember, you know, the late 80s, and early 90s, mm-hmm. you know, that President Reagan and President Bush got to a point, five judges to the Supreme Court, and many thought the Supreme Court was posed to overturn Roe v. Wade. And there were two decisions. There was the Webster decision in 1989 and the Casey decision in 1992. And again, there was a lot of speculation that the court would overturn Roe v. Wade. And you saw the public opinion polls at the time did show a little bit of an increase in quote-unquote pro-choice sentiment or sentiment in favor of legal abortion. So, yes, this Gallup poll does show a slight increase in pro-choice sentiment, but I think that's being driven by a lot of the media coverage that occurred after the leak of Justice Alito's opinion. You know, again, most of the coverage was not sympathetic to the pro-life position. I think it tended to add more heat than light. There's still a lot of people out there who think the reversal of Roe will ban abortion everywhere. It won't. It will just return it back to the states. Mm-hmm. So again, I think we need to pay attention to these polls. We shouldn't be alarmed, you know. Polls fluctuate based on current events, and that's just kind of the way I see this.
And this latest Gallup information, Michael, is also highly partisan when you go inside the numbers.
Right. That one thing I thought was actually very interesting is they're able to break public opinion down based on party identification. And what was really interesting is that almost all of the gain in quote-unquote pro-choice sentiment occurred among registered Democrats or self-identified Democrats. You know, the essentially opinions on among Republicans didn't change much from 2021. Opinions among independents didn't change much. But there was, you know, gain in support for legal abortion amongst Democrats. 70% of Democrats identified as pro-choice in 2021, and 88% identified as pro-choice in 2022. So that's a gain of 18 percentage points. So politically, this may not matter that much. You know, that people who, you know, identify as Democrats, you know, tend to vote Democrat typically.
Right.
And the fact that the Democratic Party is just becoming more and more quote unquote pro-choice or more supportive of legal abortion, you know, that's not going to necessarily make much of an impact on the ballot box during the 2022 midterms.
Michael New with us this afternoon, an associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute and a research associate at the Bush School at the Catholic University of America, looking at the latest Gallup poll, which shows that there is a slight uptick in pro-choice sentiment here in the United States. How confident are you as we speak on this Monday afternoon, June 6th, that Roe versus Wade will be overturned?
You know, what I've been always saying since the oral arguments in December is that I'm cautiously optimistic. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the oral arguments went well. I think we certainly have six judges on the Supreme Court who, what I would say, are abortion skeptical. And I thought the oral arguments and the hearings, you know, went well. I also think that, you know, while I think the leak was awful, you know, I think the Supreme Court, the judges need to trust each other. I do possibly think that the leak may be beneficial to pro-lifers. The Supreme Court tries very hard to be an institution, an entity that's not swayed by public opinion and isn't swayed by protests or backlash or outcry. So if this decision is leaked and they walk it back and they make it appear as if they're, you know, influenced by protests or backlash or media coverage, that sets a really bad precedent. Again, the Supreme Court tries very hard to be independent. They try not to, you know, make it obvious when they, you know, that public opinion, you know, affects their decisions. So if they kind of walk this back and allow themselves to be influenced by the protests or even give the appearance they're being influenced by these protests, that would look bad. So I'm, again, cautiously optimistic. We still need to pray. I think that's very important for us. I mean, a lot of things are out of our control. But one thing all of your listeners can do is pray. And I think one good thing to do is to pray for all the Supreme Court justices by name. And even pray for the ones that we don't think are going to vote our way.
Sure.
You know, my hope is it's a 9-0 decision. You know, I'd love to have it be unanimous, strike down Roe v. Wade, and really move to a new era in U.S. politics where we start doing what's best for, you know, fathers and mothers and children, both born and unborn.
What do you think it's going to be? 5-4? Probably 5-4, huh?
Yeah, that's my guess. I think Roberts is comfortable with the Mississippi law, but I don't think he's completely comfortable with the reversal of Roe v. Wade. You know, I think he's someone that likes to move incrementally. I think the other five judges are probably more comfortable with just an outright reversal of Roe, but we shall see. I mean, the Supreme Court of all the branches of government, I think, is the hardest to predict, so we just all have to wait and see, but we can all pray.
Michael, as we do pray, and we've been praying, hundreds of millions of memoraries, our Relevant Radio family of listeners, to overturn Roe versus Wade, and we've been doing that for a number of years. Assuming that it does get overturned, obviously we'll come back to the states, as you said, Michael. What should our conversation be? How should we form our conversation? Because you can probably see a couple of things coming up. First of all, the pro-abortion voices getting stronger in our states, but also probably a spin that at 5-4 or 6-3 or however the vote falls, that it's a tainted vote because of the leak, because of public opinion, even though the justices, we pray, are not influenced by that. So what's our stance, and how do we guide the conversation back to the moment of conception until natural death, about what life is about as we know as Catholics?
You know, I think there's several approaches we can take that are healthy. I mean, there's going to be a lot of angry people, a lot of upset people. You know, there's people who are going to be frustrated by this decision. And I think we need to be patient. You know, I think we should not, you know, return anger with anger. I think that, again, you know, talking about fetal development, you know, talking about when fingers and toes start to develop, when brainwaves start, sometimes that can be a, you know, a good source of conversation. Even at the court, and I've been there for some days, some people who do approach us who I support legal abortion don't think it should be illegal, you know, in the third trimester. And that's at least a starting point for a conversation. So there's that. And secondly, I do really think we need to emphasize our pregnancy help centers, that, you know, they're really well known in the pro-life movement. But outside pro-life world, a lot of people don't know that we have close to 3,000 places that offer shelter and financial support and counseling for women in need. And that's one area where I think that, you know, we could come together, that I think everybody should support helping pregnant women in need. You know, yeah. I think that should be very uncontroversial. So I think that we should kind of offer an invitation, you know, to our opponents and see if they are willing to kind of work with us and strengthen pregnancy help and work with us to do more to assist those pregnant women who do find themselves in need. So those are things I would encourage pro-lifers to do.
Sure, Michael, as you talk about that, our friends at Good Counsel Homes in the New York metropolitan area and also branching out in other parts of the country, and you've heard them spotlighted here on Relevant Radio, which is another haven for those who have unplanned pregnancies as well. But you also raise another good point, Michael, as we talk about this Gallup poll, taking a look at issues of life here in the United States, is to engage in that conversation. You've engaged in that conversation with protesters, and there's always that light bulb that goes on. I mean, just recently you've seen, I'm not a fan of his comedy, but people in the public eye like Bill Maher and others realizing once they read through that leaked decision what abortion truly was, and that you could abort a baby almost up to the point of in the ninth month, they've changed their mind. So it's incumbent upon us to have this conversation with those who are pro-choice, pro-abortion, and to just start laying those seeds of the Holy Spirit and let those seeds start to take root and explain exactly what we're talking about here. Because in a lot of cases, I bet they really don't know how severe how severe this really is.
Right. You know, a lot of times the media does not report on abortion accurately, or they report in a misleading way. A lot of people don't know that abortion, for all intents and purposes, is legal in all 50 states throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. And we're a real outlier in the international community. You know, that most, you know, developed democracies do put gestational age limits on abortion. And in those countries, that's not, you know, terribly controversial. So, you know, I think that's an important starting point. And I think just when we engage in discussions, I think the most important thing is to let people know that we care. You know, arguments are good and they're important, but sometimes it's hard to really argue somebody into a certain point of view. You have to show that we really do care about them and we want what's best for them. And I think just showing that we are compassionate, that we have pregnancy help available, I think that's a good starting point for a lot of people.
We played some sound earlier here on the Drew Mariani Show of the demonstrations that have been happening in front of the Supreme Court ever since the Roe versus Wade document was leaked just a few weeks ago. You mentioned going up there. What is the mood? What is it like? Give us a scene setter when you go up there. How angry are the people? Are they just peacefully marching? What's the demeanor of those who are out in front of the Supreme Court?
It's interesting. In the first few days after the decision was leaked, there was a lot of anger. You know, I mean, the other side was just livid. And, it was, you know, not really pleasant for those pro-lifers that, you know, did make it a point to be out there and, you know, peacefully be there being a pro-life witness.
Right.
Since the weeks after the decision, things have changed. I mean, pro-lifers have become a little more organized. Every decision day, I'm pretty sure the Students for Life is trying to organize some kind of a pro-life rally. There's a lot more pro-life people coming. You know, in the early few days, we were outnumbered. Now I think it's, you know, become a lot more even. There's just a much stronger pro-life presence out there. And in general, I've just seen a lot less anger on the side of our opponents. I mean, there are some angry people who just want to antagonize us, but I will say there are some people who support legal abortion who will dialogue. I mean, not everybody, but, you know, there are some people who will have conversations with us. So I think things have calmed down a little bit since that leak. You know, obviously we have a ways to go yet, but, you know, we are, you know, at the court. I do encourage pro-life people who are visiting Washington or live in Washington to be there, to show up, to pray. If you feel called to do so, engage with others. You know, I think the scene in the court has become a lot more calm in the past past few weeks.
Obviously, this is an emotionally charged issue, but as best as possible is to have that conversation as Catholics with clarity and charity. And again, just lay those seeds of the Holy Spirit and let people know where we stand as Catholics. And then, you know, again, with clarity and charity, just, you know, share our viewpoints. That's the best way to change hearts and win over souls.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. You know that. You know, I think it's always going to be charitable. You know, we should not return anger with anger. I mean,
Right. Sometimes
it is difficult when
it's hard to do
people
that.
Are, you know, angry and yelling and just seem like they're venting. And, you know, I mean, sometimes, again, there are some people who are not interested in the conversation. They just want to be angry and vent their grievances. We obviously should pray for them. You know, but when we do find someone who is open to a conversation, we should take advantage of that.
It's also important to mention a statistic that you may have heard in the past, but it's worth repeating in our conversation with Michael New. For those of you who have taken part in a silent march across the street or near a Planned Parenthood facility, 75% of women who were going into a Planned Parenthood facility to have an abortion have changed their minds based on the silent prayer that they will see you doing in front of or across the street from a Planned Parenthood facility. So that's something to remember if your parish puts together a group that may pray in front of a Planned Parenthood facility. Michael, thank you so much for your perspective. Michael New, an associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, a research associate at the Bush School at the Catholic University of America. Thanks for giving us the new information on the Gallup poll. Take care, Michael.
No, thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
We are in a season of confirmations. Perhaps your teen has just received the sacrament of confirmation. So how do you keep that spirit alive, the fire of the Holy Spirit alive in them? We'll give you some tips as we continue on the Drew Mariani Show here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper for Drew this afternoon. You probably have a teen or someone who's about to be a teen in your family who is either preparing to be confirmed or has just gotten confirmed. And those seven gifts of the Holy Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord, and you can see the Spirit on fire within them. So fast forward a year, 2 years, 3 years, how do you keep that fire alive? How do you keep fanning that fire of faith in teens? I know that is a conversation that we have a lot with you here at Relevant Radio. In fact, our number one prayer request, as you've heard Father Rocky say so many times, is what am I going to do to bring my teen, my young person, a young person in my family back to the faith? Well, let's give you some solutions here on the Drew Mariani Show about keeping faith alive, especially in teens. And we want to hear what you do as well at 888-914-9149. Our conversation this afternoon with Jackie Angel, a full-time traveling speaker, singer, songwriter, worship leader from Orange County, California. Her husband, Bobby, a native Floridian. They've worked for many years in campus ministry as teachers in the Knoll Boys High School. That's her husband, and Jackie and Bobby have spoken and written so many times on Catholic marriage, on discernment, on theology of the body, and now going to give you some tips, some solutions on keeping faith alive in your teen. Jackie, welcome to Relevant Radio.
Hi, how are you?
We're blessed. We're blessed. I'm fortunate, and maybe is it a generational thing for, you know, those of us who are baby boomers to have the fire of the Holy Spirit still alive in us? Did we simply get blessed by the fact that we were confirmed in the 60s and 70s when faith seemed to be much more of a part of families than it is today? And we see those numbers.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's obviously more difficult when the culture kind of stops being culturally Catholic or culturally Christian.
Yeah.
But I think the beauty of when the culture becomes kind of anti-Christian, anti-marriage, anti-life, anti-family values, the amazing thing is that's when really great saints come out of the culture, because you have to battle the culture and go against the grain of the culture. And so I get to work with young people across the country and even in my own area. And I just see those that are on fire, especially like, think of like new priests, new religious, new sisters coming. I mean, there's so much beauty in the fervor that comes from like, these aren't people that are, you know, entering into vocations because like, oh, it's just what you do. It's like, they are so on fire with God's love. And, you know, people ask me, they're like, oh, you're from California, you know, and I actually tell me there are so many amazing, of my Catholic friends from California, almost because when you're in, you know, when you're in a place that isn't necessarily Catholic or is kind of anti-Catholic, you have to be more fervent. So, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing that the culture is not, it's not just in the water, because I feel like that creates great saints.
Yeah, it is. And speaking of great saints, we have to do a shout out to every CCD teacher who is within the sound of our voice, Jackie, because, you know, you have led young men and women to the Holy Spirit in this magnificent sacrament of confirmation. I did that for 1 year. It was the toughest job I ever had in my life, but also the most rewarding, because I know, as you have seen, Jackie, and if you're a CCD teacher, you know what I'm talking about, the look in their eyes when it clicks. And that's certainly the Holy Spirit at work. And that is just a tremendous blessing.
Oh, it is so beautiful. In fact, about a month ago, I got to speak to both the middle school and high school students about the Holy Spirit. And it was so beautiful. These little eighth graders, sixth graders, seventh graders coming up to me afterwards saying, oh my gosh, for the first time, I experienced God. Because I had them pray after I spoke about the Holy Spirit. I actually invited them to pray. And I just said, let's practice, you know, hearing God's voice. Let's practice praying. Right. And asking for the Holy Spirit to come. And it was so beautiful. I talked about the charisms of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I shared how sometimes when I speak, every time when I speak, I ask Mama Mary, I say, Mama Mary, wrap your mantle around me. And multiple times when I have done that, teenagers have come up to me and said, oh my gosh, when you were speaking, I saw Mary next to you, or I saw blue around you. And I didn't tell them that I asked Mary to be with me when I speak or wrap her mantle around me. So it's just beautiful to see how the Holy Spirit is so alive. And a month ago when I spoke about it, these sweet, you know, sick middle school kids and high schoolers just experiencing God's love, which the Holy Spirit is the love of God, right?
Wow. Jackie Angel is with us this afternoon on the Drew Mariani Show. She's a full-time traveling speaker, singer, songwriter, worship leader, has taught of the faith on so many different levels to kids all the way to adults. And we're talking this afternoon about keeping faith alive, reaching teens basically past confirmation. Not to look at confirmation as your Catholic graduation, but reaching teens beyond confirmation, our conversation here on the Drew Mariani Show. And we're curious what you do, because you have seen the Holy Spirit on fire in young ones if they have just gotten confirmed. But beyond that, in your family, with your teens, with your kids, with your relatives, how do you keep that faith on fire? How do you reach those teens to keep their faith on fire after confirmation? Our number is 888-914-9149. Reaching teens beyond confirmation. How have you done it in your family? We want to share your success stories, or perhaps you've got some challenges now and we can give you some solutions. 888-914-9149 on the Drew Mariani Show. How do we make sure that, and maybe you've actually used this term with them, Jackie, that confirmation is not Catholic graduation?
Right. It's not. I mean, it's so beautiful that this is the fullness of the initiation to the Catholic Church. So it's like almost the beginning. It's like, all right, let's do this. And I think the key is we need mentors, because I know in my own life, I had a conversion. I was raised Catholic, but very kind of just going through the motions. And I had a huge conversion in my heart when I was 18. And God brought some mentors into my life to show me what it looked like to be a disciple of Jesus. Because before that, I didn't know what it looked like to have a Catholic family. I didn't know what it looked like to, you know, have a holy marriage. And so for me, it was mentors. And even the people in my family who aren't Catholic anymore, I pray for God to send them people that they really respect who are Catholic, because it may not come from me. I think that's, for a lot of us, that's so hard when we have a family member who has left the faith, and even they roll their eyes at us, or they're like, oh, you're the Catholic one. But I think it's so, I think our prayer, right? I think it's so important. We pray not only for God's grace to be poured out upon them, that we fast for them, but also we pray for people to be brought into their lives who they really respect, whatever field they're in, right? It could be any kind of field, whether it's like they're engineers or they're teachers, but someone they really respect who is Catholic, and they're like, wait, they're Catholic? And they see this normal person who is on fire for their faith. So that's my prayer for my family members who have left the church. But I know in my own life, it was mentors. It was seeing, like, how do I actually be a disciple? Because if we don't see it, then we don't know it's possible.
Right. With Jackie Angel, we're talking about keeping the faith alive in teens, keeping the faith alive past confirmation, and we're sharing how you do that here on the Drew Mariani Show. And our number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Victoria's in Fall River, Massachusetts, listening to Relevant Radio 550. Victoria, how do you keep the faith alive with teens in your family? Welcome.
Well, I'm single. I don't have any children, but I've got CCD, but what bothered me, and good to hear you back on the radio, John.
Oh, thank you.
What bothered me is when I got confirmed, my CCD instruction stopped. Why? Why don't they continue? And I wanted more. So I started teaching CCD to help out, but still, it's like, why can't it keep continuing as you get going to past confirmation into adulthood, and then you keep the spirit alive in you? Otherwise, when it stops, it's like, oh, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
That's what bothered me when I got confirmed, after I got confirmed. And I'm 66, so that's, we're talking, what, back in the 70s.
Sure. You know, Victoria, you raise a good point. And Jackie, how many times have you been driving someplace and somebody cuts you off or does something goofy with their car, and you wonder, could they get a driver's license today? You kind of yell at them. Yes, we've often talked about taking a driver's test. Again, as an adult, most of us probably wouldn't pass. Shouldn't we do some form of RCIA for those of us who are cradle Catholics in our parishes? Because Victoria raises a good point. Our faith is not static. We're either moving forward or moving back. We're not standing still.
Yeah, I think the parishes that I travel to around the country that are so on fire, the couple things that I see all in common, a lot of times they have really dynamic youth programs. So beyond confirmation, whether confirmation is in eighth grade or it's 10th grade, they have these dynamic youth programs. But I also see in every parish I see that is so on fire, they do have these adult faith formation programs like Alpha or, you know, CHIRP, or they have things like that where adults can have the opportunity again to fall in love with Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus, because we can't assume. And, you know, it's always kind of intimidating when I speak in front of people who have been Catholic for 80 years of their life. But, you know, I really felt God was saying, Jackie, don't assume anything. You know, some of these people maybe have never fallen in love with me and had a relationship with me. And so I get to speak to people of all ages, and I see the kind of the awakening, the beautiful, like, realization, like, oh my gosh, this is not just meant to be a list of rules, but a deep relationship with Jesus. So the parishes that I know that are on fire have these opportunities for adults as well.
You know, Father Simon talks about that big book on the coffee table, the Bible, that sometimes gathers a lot of dust, and with great fanfare he opens it, and you can hear the creaky door as we open up the Bible. Maybe we should leave a copy of the Catechism in a very conspicuous place in our house, because not only for us big kids, but our kids' kids, just opening the Catechism at any place is a way to start that romance with Jesus, or to grow that, to strengthen it.
Yeah, I think we have a couple different age catechisms, and my daughter is 7 and a half, And we got her a Bible that we got her a couple Bibles, but she loves reading. And I see her, it's like there's one that we have that's a comic book Bible. She has read the whole thing and she is 7.5. And she just sits there and reads it. She's fascinated by it. And because I was a youth minister, I love conversations with my kids. And this is my favorite age when they're in the age of reason. Sure. And we can have great conversations. But yeah, even just leaving the Bible around as a parent, it's for me, it's like I find every opportunity to talk to my kids about Jesus and how it relates to their lives. But I love the catechism and I love the Bible, and God really speaks to us through his word. And the catechism is just the best. I mean, I've had friends whose Protestant friends are like, wait, tell me more about the catechism.
Yeah,
you know,
they're
so shocked that the Catholic Church has this thing that is not only scripture, but it's the saints, it's the church fathers. It is so beautiful.
Right,
I highly recommend anyone to read the whole thing. It's awesome.
And it's not like the rule book for golf either. It is it's the blueprint for growing that romance with Jesus. As we have our conversation with Jackie Angel, and we're talking about just keeping the faith alive in your kids, especially after confirmation, and we're sharing how you do that, or maybe you need some help in keeping the faith alive with your kids. We're here, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Kat's in San Diego listening to Relevant Radio 1000. Hi, Kat. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you. I'm also a catechist. I just finished my first year with a group of wonderful high schoolers. But I found it was very challenging to get them engaged, to turn off their phones, and to sometimes even pay attention in class. So finding different resources and videos helped a lot. But how else can catechists prepare properly and properly feed themselves first before they step into the classroom to feed the high school kids and grasp their attention and turn their focus to our Lord?
Jackie?
Okay. I mean, first of all, you know, it always starts with prayer. And before any ministry, it's so important to pray and just for God's grace to be poured out upon those kids. And then also, Pope Paul VI said, you know, people are willing to listen to teachers, but they're much more willing to listen to teachers if they are also witnesses. And so actually teaching is a charism of the Holy Spirit. So teaching is a natural gift, but a supernatural gift of teaching means that when people listen to teachers, they are, they're changed, they're transformed. Mm-hmm. And so to anyone who's a teacher listening, especially like a theology teacher or teaching catechism, these kids, I mean, they could just go through it, but they can be transformed if the teacher is also a witness and, you know, shares the beauty of the faith with because they can see it. I feel like teens, what's beautiful about working with teenagers is like they can smell it. You know what I mean? They can
authenticity.
They can tell.
Yep.
Oh, and they will say it is too funny. Like they are so honest, like brutally sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I think obviously just prepare by praying for your class, but also, you know, pray, just prepare by allowing God in your life and being a witness of that. And granted, this culture, it's so loud, it's so noisy, it's so busy with our phones and everything. So it is kind of a tough, like, you know, nut to crack sometimes, like kids. But every heart, no matter how old people are, every single heart wants to be loved. And I think also coming at it from that angle of this is not just things to be taught, but this is really a love story. This is not just information that we want in their heads, because, you know, a lot of times we catechize, but we also need to evangelize the hearts of these kids. But I think it's always from being a witness first. So feed ourselves with scripture, feed ourselves with the sacraments, and really pray intentionally before you go in. It's like a battlefield, you know, to pray for the grace of God to be poured out in the hearts of these kids.
Kat, great call. God bless you and your work. Thanks for listening in San Diego with Jackie Angel this afternoon. We're talking about something that's probably happening in your family, is keeping the faith alive with teens. How do you reach teens beyond confirmation. How have you done it in your family, or maybe you need some help with your teens? Jackie Angel, here to help. Our number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. How have you reached teens in your family, the teens in your family? How have you kept the faith alive in them, especially as they go off to college? 888-914-9149 as we continue on the Drew Mariani Show here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Drew Mariani Show.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. Thank you for your show.
This is the Drew Mariani Show.
Marvelous show on the radio right now.
On Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper for Drew this afternoon, and we're talking about keeping the faith alive, especially if you have teens and you know that's a challenge. The faith is alive in them. You can actually see the Holy Spirit. It is palpable, the Holy Spirit that's alive in your sons and daughters if they have just been confirmed. But keeping that fire stoked, those fires of the Holy Spirit alive and stoked, is the real challenge that you have as moms and dads and grandparents. And we're giving you some tips from Jackie Angel, who is joining us from Orange County, California, and she, and along with her husband Bobby, have spoken and written about Catholic marriage and discernment and theology of the body, and we're giving you some solutions here, and also finding out what yours are at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, and what you have done with your teens to keep them alive, as we keep them alive in the faith. As we talk about confirmation, in your experience, Jackie, because I know this differs as you go across the country, and there's been a lot of conversation about at what age a child should be confirmed. Is there, for lack of a better term, a sweet spot that you have seen as they grow older, get more mature, to really appreciate the sacrament of confirmation and the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit?
Every kid is so different, but I know as I have a lot of youth minister friends, a lot of them like the 10th grade year, yeah, almost because it gives them more time, because so many people do see it as Catholic graduation. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, okay, we have more time to allow them to encounter Jesus. So while I know some people do it in 3rd grade, 8th grade, 10th grade, I know, it obviously differs and it depends on the community, but you know, a lot of youth ministers are like, we get to keep them for a little bit longer. And as they continue to mature, and high school is a really tough age because the people they're hanging out with are
exactly
so influential.
And they've been able to experience the culture a little bit more as well.
Yes. Yes. It is, it's such, your peer group is influences so much in what you believe. And so I just am a huge advocate for, especially if kids are going off to college, I always tell teens who are going to college, you need to make sure you find good community, because it is so easy to be dragged down by people. People want to see you fail. People want to see people fall into sin. Mm-hmm. And so it's so important to have community who help you run the race to heaven, who help you in holiness.
Keeping the faith alive in your teen, beyond confirmation, or conversation with Jackie Angel here on the Drew Mariani Show. And Bridget's in Albuquerque, New Mexico, joining us at 888-914-9149. Bridget, hi, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show. What has been successful for you in keeping the faith alive in teens?
Well, hi, Drew. I'm traditional Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have found is there are so many young people attending the traditional Latin Mass. And they're not being dragged by their parents. They want to come. And you can see that, and you can see the interest and the involvement. And I think the more Latin masses we have, the more kids are going to get involved and stay involved.
You know, you speak the truth, Bridget. The pastor of my parish was the pastor of a parish in a neighboring community. I went to that parish for something special, and Mass was in Latin. And there had to have been, I want to say, at least a half a dozen, maybe more, altar servers. And they ranged from perhaps age 8 all the way through high school. And as you know, mm-hmm, when you do the traditional Latin Mass by the 1962 Missal, it's very complicated. And there's a choreography that goes to it, right? And if you don't know what you're doing, you can bump into each other. It can be kind of Keystone Kopish.
Exactly.
So you have to know what you're doing. These young men up there. And again, from age 8 all the way through high school, knew exactly what to do. And it wasn't because they had been doing it so many times, but I could also see them responding in Latin as well. And that just gives you great hope, doesn't it, Bridget?
It's amazing. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Chartres pilgrimage in France that was this last weekend, but it's so many young people at that pilgrimage. It's pretty amazing.
Jackie, do you introduce Latin or the Latin Mass or, you know, Mass according to the 1962 Missal, which I know has been controversial in the last 6 months? Have you done that in any of your classes, in any of your presentations?
No, it's funny. The church I go to is it's very solid, very orthodox, and very, I wouldn't say charismatic. I mean, actually all Catholics are called to be charismatic because we have the Holy Spirit. So I know some people call them trasmatic. And what's crazy is we are in Dallas now, and we go to a parish that is huge, and you see the young families who are just, you know, I feel like I have the small family with 4 kids. And you just see babies, and because I think people, they just want truth, and they want solid preaching, solid teaching, and they want to, you know, that's the beauty of it. And I think, I know that it kind of depends where you are, but if some people, the place where that's preaching truth is the Latin Mass, you know, like they're like, oh my gosh, this is the place where people are actually speaking the truth. Mm-hmm. But I kind of, from my perspective where I've traveled around, it really is just people want the truth, and they want love, but they don't want things watered down. And wherever beauty is found, and so beauty is found in the Latin Mass, beauty is found in our singing, our praise to God. And so I'm like, let's give them beauty. And so I'll do chant, and I chanted the Pentecost sequence last night at Mass. And then we have a more contemporary music at our church. But I'm like, whatever is beautiful leads people to God. And so young people can have preferences but everyone knows what is beautiful, and that leads to God.
I'm glad you used the word beautiful, because very often when we use terms like orthodox, that can at times set off bells and whistles in some Catholics that say, oh, conservative, liberal. And it's not that. It is really the beauty of every Mass. And a lot of this in what we're talking about, Jackie, is what we bring into the Mass. They understand that this is a foretaste of heaven. And, you know, if you understand that first, I think you can appreciate whatever. You can have the Holy Spirit at work in you a little bit more, hearing what Father has to say from the pulpit, and just, you know, watching how the Mass is celebrated. I know you've not seen this, and most of our Relevant Radio listeners haven't seen this. It's funny that you mentioned this, because we were talking about this before we went on the air. Father Richard Simon is on with Father Simon Says every day right here before Drew's show. For those of you who know him from his parish in Skokie, Illinois, before he retired, remember going to Mass with Father Simon, I have never, never seen a priest celebrate Mass more reverently. And what that was a tremendous gift, not only from Father Simon, but a tremendous gift from the Holy Spirit in what I needed to bring to the table when I went to Mass. So it was not this one-sided thing. Father Simon's reverence in celebrating the Eucharist was a reminder or a wake-up call, a little bit more of a wake-up call to me from the Holy Spirit of what I need to bring to the table, Jackie.
Yeah, I think that that's right. When people see the reverence, and it, again, it can be at any type. It could be a Novus Ordo. It could be a lot. I think that reverence, it's so beautiful. And people, and that's why our witness is so important too, not just in Mass, but even outside of Mass. Because, how sad would it be if, like, we look all reverent in Mass while it's taking place, but then outside of Mass, you know, we're yelling things at the people driving their cars and cutting us off. <You know? laughs> and so it always...
I'm laughing because I've done that.
I think we all know, just from, you know, generations and generations of Catholics, like, if it's just about rules, then people are not going to stay Catholic. It has to be. I mean, every pope has said this. Like, it always has to be about a relationship with Jesus. I mean, from Pope John Paul, Pope Benedict, right. Pope Francis. Like, we all know that. And from there, like, I see in my own children, you know, we're trying, they're little. So I'm like, I'm trying to teach them reverence. I'm trying to teach them to love Jesus. But it's really, again, it's like being like a little child and having that kind of childlike faith and joy. And it is hard in the culture because the culture is not childlike.
No, you're right. And I just got to interrupt. If the Holy Spirit could only give us more time. But Jackie Angel, thanks so much for sharing your wisdom about keeping the faith alive in kids beyond confirmation. And we're hopeful that we've helped you here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.